All right, so we're back here again with another podcast. This week is the second chapter of our Back to School. All the parents are loving it, and all the kids are hating it.
When summer was just, it was a vacation. It's not just a season, right?
Not just a season. Whew, man. So this week's podcast is about from the student or the child's perspective. Last week we did from the father's perspective. This one is about you just got out of high school, spent the summer doing whatever, working on your tan, part-time job at the store, whatever kind of thing. Now you get ready to go back to, or you're going to college, whether it be local or across the country, trade, school, whatever. What was going through your mind the weekend before you went back, or you went off to college?
Besides the screaming in my head? Besides the terror?
The voices. Sometimes they're right.
It was a little different for me only because I had gone through some community courses in high school, so I had a little bit, like a small taste of what college was kind of like. Right. So I probably wasn't like petrified. Those first like weeks, though, they were rough, to say the least. Yeah. Just having the balance, because like as a student, you hear like, oh, I only take like 4 classes a semester, going from high school, taking like 6 a day.
What?
It's going to be a walk in the park. What they don't tell you is it's basically the same thing, just with homework instead of being in the class.
How long are these classes? Right. Oh, they're about 3 hours a piece.
So. Well, those were mine for my art classes, and 3 hours a piece compared to like the 55 minutes of my gen ed was heavy. I think the biggest fear that I had was just like balancing it all. Like those, it's probably the same thing for, you know, when you get a new job kind of thing, and it's like that balancing act. Like, how do I fit all this in?
Sure.
How do I fit schooling, homework, family, faith, friends, all of that kind of thing.
Sure.
And to also be involved with all these classes that are like, well, these aren't people you've known before, like in high school. These are entirely new people. And the only thing that's connecting you to them is the fact that you just happen to also sign up at the same school and happen to have the same section at a class number.
Sure.
So it was very daunting to be surrounded by so many unknowns. Because I'm a planner by nature. I hate having unknowns. And I mean, I researched the crap out of my professors before I even stepped foot on campus to sign up. Sometimes that was good to know who was there. And then sometimes you realized, pick your poison. You want Nightshade or Venom. It's kind of the same deal, just different deaths.
Right.
But the balancing act was very difficult for me in the beginning. I just didn't know how to handle the workload of homework and all the different things. In the very beginning, my social life suffered drastically.
Sure.
I just would go to class, and then I would just run back home. And then I would go to class and then run back home.
Right.
I hardly ever did anything on campus. I think that was probably my consistent pattern for about like the first year or so.
Right.
It wasn't until about year 2 I started trying to get involved in some activities. After having a year of getting this process down.
Right.
But I definitely was very weary of the art program that I was in. I did a lot of my gen ed before I stepped onto UNCC's campus.
Sure.
And so when I did, it was mostly art project stuff. And, you know, the arts department is not the most nice towards faith at all, really.
Sure.
Mostly just talk about the Renaissance and general terms, nothing about the churches that it was involved in or anything like that.
Right.
So, one of my first professors I had, he was openly gay, and, you know, he was very open about that.
Sure.
And so that was like a culture shock for me, because I didn't really know anyone that was gay to that point. We were homeschool, we had a co-op we went to, and we had church kind of thing. And so this professor who, might I add, is above my grade and giving me grades is now someone who have a differing faith and differing, you know, identity than me. That was petrifying.
As long as they don't require you to believe, what they believe or buy into, in today's culture, their agenda.
Yeah.
It's like, look, you want to be gay, you do your thing.
Yeah.
Don't expect me to change my beliefs based off of just meeting you 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's funny is that at the beginning of when you were starting to go, we had a class that we went to. I think you may have been there with us. It was about like how to structure your time.
Classes, introduction week.
Right. It was the classes, how long it would take, homework would take. You could have a social life, maybe even a part-time job. And I remember leaving there thinking, well, that's probably doable if you remove the emotional, you know, like change in everybody's lives, that it just went from possibly a medium-sized fish in a very small pond to a minnow in a very big pond.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, when everything is so new, you know, adult experience, that's when they get a new job someplace. You wouldn't know anybody.
Yeah.
So you go there and you spend the next X number of weeks and months trying to carve out your place in that company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the same choices there as you do at college of, am I going to let my faith still show,
mm-hmm.
whether it be in what I wear, like a cross around my neck, or how I speak, or the music I listen to. You know, I've always been very open about my faith at work, and kind of the Steve Martin, be so good they can't ignore you. It's like, oh, he's a Christian, so he's not expected to be very good at his job.
Yeah.
But we're like, wow, he's does a decent job, actually more than decent. And yeah, we'll just have to overlook that he's a Christian, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So what did you do from a balancing act of, like, what did you find you did to help you that second year?
I realized that I had to make time. I in the beginning of the year, I figured, oh, it'll all fall in place for me. It'll be perfect.
Right.
And I realized my second year, like, no, I got to sit down to figure this thing out. Like, sure. I need to make an effort to find time to do these things, whether right. it's meet with friends and have lunch together while we're on campus, or it is to get my homework done in a timely manner, or, you know, work or whatever. I also did get plugged into a Christian organization on campus that helped a lot.
Yeah.
It helped me a lot because all I was surrounded by for that first year was artists who were non-Christians.
Mm.
And they weren't aggressive against me at all, but they definitely were not in favor of my faith at all. They sure. definitely were like, you know, well, I'm going to speak my mind and curse like a sailor and drink, do drugs, talk about, you know, my sexual escapades or whatever.
Sure.
So, you know, we talk about
it goes both ways.
Right. So I definitely, at that point, I was definitely trying to be, you know, known as that guy in our art group, because I talked about going to Bible study a lot.
Yeah, sure.
But we always talk about, you know, bad company corrupts, right?
Good and, morals, right?
Yeah, so not having a Christian group is a dangerous, dangerous place to be. And if you're in college and you are not plugged into a Christian group, I don't care how solid you think you are, you need to be in a Christian group
mm-hmm.
and attending church weekly.
Yes, because yes.
there's just too much on campus and people around you, roommates, professors, other students, that will try to lead you astray.
Right. So to step into that a little bit further, think about your schedule. I'm talking to you, college student-to-be, or that first year or two student. How much time that you're exposed to unbelievers while you're on campus? Now think about you go to church, say, 1 hour a week on a Sunday. And then maybe go to a Christian group. Like, how often did you guys meet?
We had a meeting, kind of sermon worship thing every Wednesday, and we had a lunch meetup once a week. I think it was on like Fridays.
Okay, so that's
like 2-3 hours a week, I'd say. Okay,
so 2-3 hours a week of the group, and then one on a Sunday kind of thing, compared to what you're exposed to on the balance of your new college world.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that it's going to be outnumbered. It won't be a level playing field. No. So you got to make it one. You got to spend time before your feet hits the ground. You spend time in God's Word, 15 minutes reading. We have 75 plus devotions that won't take you 3 minutes to read before you get going for the day. Put your armor on, you know, before you get going. Plug into a Christian group, attend a church, and stick to your morals. I don't care what that other student is wearing or says, or the professor says. 4 years from now, you won't even remember their name. I mean, Josh was shaking his head for those who are listening to this podcast. So we just want to make sure that you hear this, first and second year student. Please start surrounding yourself with supportive Christian people so that you don't feel out of place. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Studio 490 Digital Marketing. Elevate your business with Studio 490. Our expert team offers tailored web design, SEO, Google Ads, and social media management. Visit studio490.com because your success story starts today. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the Uncommon Man-to-Man podcast, contact us today at uncommon.org. And so,
because it's easy to feel isolated.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the our college campus, it was like it was designed to isolate every different group. I mean, my art project classes were all like,
sure.
We joke about had the center, had the mess hall. I mean, I was like a 10-minute walk, solid trekking it uphill both ways, just right. Getting from the art program stuff. And, you know, the art side of campus was vastly different than, you know, the architecture or the engineering side of campus. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that was really good for me was getting plugged into a group, but also making friends in that group. Because, yeah. I mean, this is the equivalent of like, you know, well, you go to group, did you check it off a list? Because if you're checking it off a list, that's not what this is.
Yeah.
You are there to be in God's Word, but to make friends who are also in the same season of sure. life. Because when we met and had lunch or whatever, those weren't the only times I saw those people and yeah. those other Christians. So we met outside that. We met up for game night sometimes. We had lunch together on campus. We had a group chat. It was like 10 of us.
Right.
And now somebody like, hey, I'm at lunch hall A or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyone around for lunch? And then, you know, people are like, oh, I'll be on my way kind of thing. And then head over and we'll just kind of meet together and just hang right. out and spend some time with each other. Because when you're constant barrage, the barrage of just constant you know, non-believer verbiage and action and stuff, it wears you down.
Oh,
and
sure.
when you feel isolated, it makes it worse.
Right.
So if you're not very careful about who you spend time with and how you recharge, you know, there's the thing about extrovert versus introvert, right? Introvert
sure.
recharges like by themselves, extrovert recharges around people. You need to recharge your spiritual battery sometimes
yeah.
with other people and have them breathe life into you.
Right.
And be mentor or mentee kind of thing.
Sure.
And so that was a huge turning point for me in my college career about just getting plugged in. Now, did I join the first one that I went to?
Nope.
Not even remotely. So I recommend that you try a couple and sure. find ones that fit your schedule, because there was some that met during my class periods or just it wasn't what I was looking for or whatever the case may be. If your church has a college group on campus, highly recommend doing that, because then you'll know people there
yeah.
before you even meet. But yeah, I know that there was, during my 3 years into that Christian group, it was interesting to see people kind of come and go, or people would show up for once and never see again, or people yeah. would be like, I'm there for 6 months, and then you see them later on walking around, you're like, oh, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm just not my thing kind of thing. And so I think for me, what was interesting was in that group setting, you realized this is kind of where the rubber meets the road, where is this your faith? Or your parents' faith.
Ooh.
And so
preach.
I mean, this is the thing of like, were you forced to go to church on Sundays? Were you forced to go to Wednesday night studies? Because when you're in college, No one's there to force you to do anything. And that's where you need to be, take that responsibility and that self-worth and that self, you know, energizing thing of like, okay, I'm going to make an effort to go.
Sure.
You're going to feel tired. You're going to be like, I don't want to go to this thing. It's on the other side of campus. I got to have dinner. I got homework to do. And there's always going to be an excuse. That's Satan loves excuses.
Sure, sure. Right?
He loves using excuses like, ah, man, just stay home. Get that homework done. Your homework's important.
I do feel sympathy toward young students who play at their faith or just have never really kind of stepped into it other than what their parents made them do.
Yeah.
And they go on campus and the unbelief agenda just hits them like a train. And that foundation is not sturdy. You know, this is the good soil parable kind of thing. But it gets your soul right before you set foot on campus because, you know, it's if you're not strong in your faith, you don't have a good support system, you're going to realize that no one's coming to push you to do this. Mm-hmm. You better make a decision on your own. And so, but realize that there are people out there wanting to encourage you, wanting to help. If you don't know where to start, contact Uncommon today at admin@uncommon.org, and we'll give you some advice of where to go. We'll even look up your college campus and find some Christian organizations for you to get involved with. If you need a push, we'll push. If you need encouragement, we'll encourage. But you can't just go there and drift.
Yeah.
Because you'll drift in wrong areas.
Yeah.
And so, I was glad that we had put in the time and we're very close. And you were so strong in your guys' faith, you and Noah, that I did not worry about that part of it. But I was always like Hulk Hogan waiting to be tagged in if needed from the sidelines if there's a problem.
Yeah.
So,
And I think it's interesting you bring that up because, I mean, my first semester, I had some of the probably my worst professors. Now, that is a professor. I do still recall their name because it's still a person that is at that school that has probably the worst rate my professor rating at the entire school.
Right, and she probably loves it too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. She
is a badge of honor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she openly made people cry. She told several people, including myself, that I didn't belong in the art program. So
I always loved that.
Yeah, you love being told wrong after getting applied to get in there, but...
Tell me more about myself, stranger.
Tell me more what you know about my life and achievements. But what was interesting was that was probably the first instance where, you know, while you were there to tag in, I can't. I had to handle that interpersonal decision of like, how do I handle this person who's being really aggressive towards me, being really, you know, straight up rude and mean? Do I treat them the same way and kind of fight back? Do I... turn the other cheek and walk away? And so I think that is one thing that they really don't talk about in those like introduction pieces of like, you're going to find professors that maybe not faith-based, maybe just personality-based that you're just going to fight with constantly.
Sure.
I think it's not a place where you can be lukewarm, right?
It's going to push you one side of the fence or the other.
Yeah. I mean, there was a guy we talked about on this podcast before. That he was a groomsman at my wedding, and we met at the Christian group, and he was very solid in his faith when I first met him, and he lived not on campus but near us, but he lived alone. His parents weren't with him at the time, and so his support group really wasn't there.
Yeah,
and so you could see how much that plagued him as he kind of went through the years, and then eventually he kind of stepped away from the faith.
Yeah.
And became alcoholic and being very aggressive and, you know, verbally abusive and everything. And I met his dad a couple times through that process and even spoke to him about Aaron, or his behavior kind of thing. And it was interesting because his dad, Stonewall, hardly two words I ever spoke to the man.
Sure.
Or he spoke to me. And so I could see that support system was not there.
Right.
And how much that played a role. And like, if he had a better support system, because I can only be so much support system for him.
Sure.
And, you know, student who's listening to this, you can only be so much a support system to someone else before that becomes a problem.
Sure.
You know, sometimes only a parent can kind of help out that, or a pastor or someone of, you know, higher authority than, you know, shoulder to shoulder can help. And, it's you're going to make friends in college who either claim to be Christian or are Christians.
Sure.
And will walk away by the end of your stint there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to, it's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. I mean, when you're going through college, you're living a lot of like ups and downs in life when you're, you know, you're in the trenches kind of deal. And that creates a lot of friendships, but unfortunately sometimes those friendships don't last.
I hate to say that it's almost like that's doesn't stop after you finish college. That is the adult life.
Yeah.
It's meeting other adults that do I tell them I'm a Christian or not? You meet your neighbor outside. Do I tell them I'm getting ready to go to church kind of thing? Heck yeah. So it may seem like this little sphere is just college life. That's where you're exposed to it probably the first time. You have peer pressure in high school. That tends to be more like, you know, what kind of shoes and pants are you wearing? And you don't wear this. You don't have that kind of car. Whereas you get to be an adult, it starts to move into also, what are your interests? Oh, what are your beliefs? And how do you handle yourself? How do you speak and all that? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it continues on in your adulthood. And so if you are struggling in college, if you don't make changes, you're probably going to struggle in your adult years. So
yeah, the discipline that you build in college will either help you or hinder you in the years to come. You either have to unlearn all that you've done in college, whether it's poor, you know, balancing of time, work, and, you know, and enjoyment, or it will be that you've set yourself up for success because you've built that good foundation.
Right.
And so if you're listening to this podcast and you are really struggling with that and you really need some help, we have a couple of resources. We have a newly released masterclass called Adulthood Calling. It has 5 videos of introspection between you and me.
Yeah.
It has an original and a workbook and a conversational starter piece and just a lot of great content that kind of helps you walk through those first years and what comes after.
Yeah.
Because this is just, we're talking about right now, college. And
right. This is just, you graduated high school, you're just starting college. And we're talking about, like, you know, those first for a few years. So.
Yeah. So if you're looking for something like that, it's going to help you out. Feel free to reach out to us, like we said earlier, but definitely check out that masterclass. It's a great resource.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you have any questions or anything, feel free to reach out, leave comments below. We love hearing that and just helping you out and know that you're not alone. I know this can feel very isolating, especially if you don't have a good support system, but know there's people in our ministry that are there to kind of help you out and be that support system 100%. When you need it.
I happened to post a question on our social last week. So what are you struggling with right now? Remember, these are not first-year college students. Just let me set that bar there. These are grown men years into adulthood. The first one was anxiety. Second was marriage. Just his job. Just life in general. That was the first 4. Sound familiar? So to say it, this is just a preliminary discussion about what is going into be adulthood issues too. So, yeah, we have one more coming up in our back to school segment. Don't miss that as we focus on, well, you're now in your last year of college. Now what? So be sure to check us out at uncommon.org. And Joshua, hit him with the tagline.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.